Good morning. This is Pastor Rick Eaton of Vanderhoof Baptist Church. It is May 10th, 2020. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Those of you who have a mother who is still living, I want to encourage you to contact your mother. Our Bible scripture this morning we're going to be looking at is in Psalms. We're going to be looking at Psalm 121. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with me, go ahead and open up to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Where do you go from help for help? Who do you rely on when problems arise? I can tell you this morning that it is first and foremost God that I call upon for help. Sometimes this help comes in the shape of other people. You know, the Bible even speaks of God using the ungodly to help His people. Sometimes the Lord's help simply comes as a level of peace for me within the situation. Who do you look to in your time of need? Look again at Psalm 121. This time we're going to read through the whole psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your ever unending watch over our lives. Guide each of us to take this moment during this time as we listen to the sermon to truly examine our lives and as to where we are, and help us to lean back and sense your presence. Help us to receive the arms of your love. Lord, if there be anybody that's going through some specific trouble right now, Lord, I give that to you. I give them to you. Give them guidance. Guide them to trust in you more. In Jesus' name, amen. When reading an individual psalm, have you ever spent time truly meditating on the words and pondering the thoughts and emotions going through the mind of the writer? I mean, not just your own feelings that may get stirred up, but truly try to wrestle with maybe what the psalmist is going through. I've read of modern singers who write deeply moving songs during emotional moments in their lives. I heard recently one that's suggesting that she may never be able to reach the heights of some of her early hits, picturing that she'll never be in the depths of despair as she had been with her early work. She was suggesting that it was the anguish she was in at the time of the writing that brought out the beauty of the work. Perhaps you listen to a song on the radio and hear and sense the thoughts, her feelings, of the artist. You get drawn in to the conversation. I can say I know that's true for me. Music can be moving. You think it was any different for the psalmist? Were they, like our modern musical artists, respond to their thoughts and feelings? I've suggested to you before, I really think a psalm is, when we read a psalm, it's as if we are looking over the shoulders as somebody pours out their heart. In examining a psalm in this way, we may not be able to come up with a definitive answer. I'm not sure that it's necessary. The psalmist can't send us a tweet expressing to us their feelings today about the psalm. But I think I can say this: human feelings have not changed over the years. I think we can pull out some ideas of what the writers may have been going through. Listen again as I read Psalm 121, and listen for the feelings and emotions that may have been felt. Try to just listen and sense what may have been going through this person's heart as they were writing. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let me read to you again just the first two verses, and then we'll talk about them. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Why might the psalmist have said, from where does my help come from? Well, I know we can say he's been in trouble. At some point, the psalmist had wrestled with some trouble. I would say he's probably been down that road numerous times. Otherwise, why would he feel a need to call out? What was the trouble that he faced? This we don't know. What trouble have you faced? Or are you facing? Do you find it interesting that often when having trouble in your life, often no one seems to see it in the same light as you do, in the same depth as you do? I can tell you, I've went to friends sometimes and shared a deep challenge that I'm wrestling with and seen their eyes gloss over. We may belittle and judge others' troubles, and often do. I'm no different when I may hear someone else's troubles. We often belittle and judge them, give them simplistic answers. But I want to tell you, when it's your trouble, from your perspective, it is supreme, and you're the only one who truly knows its depths. Others cannot truly know it, at least not in the way that you do, though I believe the Lord can. The psalmist raises his eyes and he looks to the hills. I wonder, I could see maybe this is an act of exasperation, looking up and saying, where is my help? From where does my help come? Maybe you have something going on that's pushing you to an edge. Your patience has thinned. Can you feel the depths of the psalmist's thoughts? Where is my help? Or perhaps the psalmist is looking from on high, or looking up on high. We often use this idea of being on high as a representative of strength or authority. The psalmist is looking to a place of strength for help. For a child, it might be to a parent. At work, it might be the boss or the boss's boss. Someone who is on high, who has authority for the issue at hand. If it's of a personal nature, our trouble that we're dealing with, we may look to someone who's been there. We think of them as an authority, or someone maybe who's trained in dealing with those issues, who we may sense that knows the subject better than us. All of these may be the right place to look at times. The psalmist finally settles on looking upon the Lord, the Creator of the heaven and earth. I've had my troubles in life, and I can say some have been solved by people that I work with, professionals that I've talked to about a particular issue. Some people use the term somebody with skin on them, right? Some that we can see. I believe the psalmist would still say that this help is just an extension of God's help. All the good in our lives ultimately comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. Even when we somehow may sense that we've figured it out, can you not understand that is the Creator who has helped you through the process? Why might the psalmist suggest he will not let your foot to be moved? We studied recently on Wednesday night on our Bible study, the temptation of Jesus. Luke writes about it in chapter 4 of his gospel. It's where the devil tempts Jesus with three things. You may remember him suggesting, the devil suggesting that Jesus leap from the top of the temple, suggesting, after all, God will not allow you to be hurt. Let me read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. And he, speaking of the devil, he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, this is a devil speaking to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. The devil is basically asking Jesus, doesn't God say that you will be protected? Jump from this building. Prove it. Living a life of trusting God doesn't mean that we never stop to think through the consequences of our actions. This is what the devil was suggesting to Jesus. Some who suggest the country should simply ignore this virus, I think maybe should take a moment and read these verses. Listen, I don't fully understand what the right answer is in dealing with this virus. I'm a pastor. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a politician. I'm not here to give you the right answers concerning those things. My focus needs to be on preaching and teaching the Word of God. But thankfully, you know, again, it's not my role in life to attempt to tell this country what the right decision is. However, I can say, based on what the Word of God says, that choosing to make decisions with a view towards the safety of ourselves and for the good of others is not a sign of low faith. When the devil says leap, Jesus answers in verse 12. It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. We're not showing a higher faith to walk around with no safeguards in our lives. Trust God. But don't ignore what is in front of you. Live a life with open eyes. Trust God to guide you. Who to listen to. The overriding view of the psalmist in the Bible is God will be with us. God will be at our side. God does not promise a life without suffering. In fact, you may suffer because you follow Him. Spent some time reading about the Old Testament saints who attempted to speak for Him. While many refused to listen, and of those who followed after Jesus and the suffering that they went through. But as we choose to follow the Lord, as we choose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, our feet will not slip. We will not be led to take any step that will lead to our downfall. The Lord will keep us from evil in the sense that our soul will be kept. And when we choose His side, we should understand it is always the ultimate winning side. Even though it may seem bleak at times. Again, remember the beginning. The psalmist had trouble. That's what led him to write this psalm. The psalmist suggests that the Lord is the shade on your right hand. He is our shade. What a comfort a little shade is on a hot summer day. Yes, hot days are coming. I know it doesn't feel like it this weekend. Freeze warnings. But warm days are coming. You may have heard someone being called a right-hand man. The psalmist here is saying that God is on our right hand, given the idea of someone being right by our side, an ever-present helper. In Hebrews 13:5, speaking of the presence of Jesus in our lives, the words of Jesus are quoted, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, understand He is by your side. He understands what you're going through, and He will lead you through it. You notice the psalmist likes the word keep. He uses some form of it 6 times. Keep, keeper, keeps. Why might He have said, "He who keeps you will not slumber," and that the Lord never sleeps? Now, what is the difference between slumber and sleep? I get a sense maybe that slumber is the idea of lightly sleeping, or maybe taking a nap, something that I'm hoping to do here this afternoon. Could you imagine perhaps that the psalmist may have had problems that didn't seem to go away at sundown? Had problems that he'd wrestled with and had become weary. The psalmist was saying, "I'm going to give this over to God. The God who does not sleep, who does not grow weary." I can imagine him saying, "I'm going to take my eye off the problem, at least for now." But he found comfort that God does not. We serve a God that doesn't sleep. He will not sleep until His people are rescued. Maybe you need to say this concerning your trouble this morning. "I will give it over to the Lord who never sleeps." I also heard ringing in my ears as I was doing this study the idea of someone who never sleeps until the job is done. And I did some searching and I could not find it. If you find it or if you're aware of it or something specific, I would love to hear it. But it seems like I remember when I was a kid watching cartoons and seeing the character Dudley Do-Right. Sometimes I think he had his own cartoon, but he was also often on the Rocky and the Bullwinkle show. But it seems like something either that came from that cartoon, or maybe it's just the general idea of Canadians, Canadian Mounties, which Dudley Do-Right was, is this idea that he always gets his man. The whole Bible is a story of God rescuing his people. Others will fail you. You will fail yourself. But the psalmist wants you to know God will not. Why might the psalmist have said that the Lord will keep you from evil? Perhaps this is just a repeat of the idea of God not allowing our foot to slip or to be moved. Perhaps this is in reference to the evil that is within us. Maybe the psalmist has had a time in his life when he chose to go his own way, ignoring what he knew was right. Like the prodigal son, he had tried life on his own, and he had returned and recognized the wisdom in staying within the confines of God's laws, God's rules. He came to realize that God's laws were written to bring us to good, not to take away the joy in our life. They are meant to bring us joy. Jesus says he wants us to have joy and to have it in its fullness. Perhaps the psalmist had recognized that at times he could be his own worst enemy. You may remember in what we call the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus was asked by the disciples how they could pray, and one of the things that he said that we should be praying on a regular basis, keep us from evil. Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from being evil. Keep me from choosing evil. Lord, save me from myself. The Lord can keep you from this as you choose to obey him, as you choose to live a life that is honorable before him and that ultimately will lead you into the right path. Staying in the right path will get you to the right place. The Lord so much wants to be your guide. Lastly, the psalmist says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Perhaps the psalmist had been through some hard times, and after making it through the other side and looking back, he was able to see God in the beginning, God in the middle, as well as God at the end. God was still God at the start of your trouble, and he will still be God in the end. He may not always lead you out of trouble, but will always, when you lean on him, lead you through it. God was at your birth and will be there at your death. Maybe you're at a crossroad in your life. Have you been recently calling out, where is my help? Where is it coming from? I hope you've come to the same conclusion and acted out in faith. The hope of getting through any trouble in this life is ultimately found in following the Lord. Is it he that you look for when help is needed? He will not lead you astray, nor will he leave you when the going gets rough. And Christian, if you've turned from him, he's waiting for you to turn back. May 10th this year has been chosen as Mother's Day, a day that we are to think about our mothers. I hope you had a wonderful mother. I know I did. No mother is exactly alike, and none of them are perfect. Being a mother in the 21st century is not easy. but I would suggest that it has never been easy. A mother who is fulfilling her duty is self-sacrificing and protective towards her children. I know what a mother is and does during her day has changed some over the years, but the heart of a good one has not changed. God's love is compared to that of a mother by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 66 and 13 says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." I know not all mothers are perfect and live up to this ideal, but if you had a mother like that, thank the Lord for her. If she's still living, call her and thank her for the sacrifices she made. If you have a mother like that, we should be thankful to her for exemplifying God's love in your life. Perhaps the psalmist could see the comfort of God in the mother he had. May God comfort and lead you in your time of need. I'd like to close with again the first two verses of the psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your help, even the help that sometimes we didn't recognize. We thank you for being there at our birth, for being there throughout our lives and continually reaching out to us. We thank you for the people that you've put in our pathways to help guide us. Show us, Lord, how we can be a helper in others who are going through troubles. Lord, I ask you to touch the hearts and lives of everyone that's listening to this, Lord. Help them to hear what they need to hear and see what they need to see. And most of all, be drawn to you, the maker of heaven and earth. We thank and we praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.